Oh, welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns. I am very relieved to tell you that I have just finished the first draft of my book Wild Winter. there's a lot of work to do on it yet. It's got to be edited and looked at and thumbed over, and then I've got to rewrite the whole damn thing, I guess. But progress is being made. I'm hoping to have that book finished within the next few months, and it'll probably be published sometime in maybe around about April of next year. April of next year feels a long way off, doesn't it, right now? But it'll be here. It'll be here sooner than you think, I'm hoping. I'm going to do something unusual today. I'm going to read from a children's book. Now, I'm going to do that because this is a book, Fantastic Female Adventures, and it's really a selection of 14 women who've pushed the limits in exploration or climbing or trail running or sailing. And it's, I suppose, a little comeback at the male domination of the outdoor adventure world. You know, you could certainly be guilty of levelling the criticism against me and the sort of stuff that I do, is that it's mainly for middle-class, middle-aged males. All of them are white, and that's certainly, I'm a white, middle-class male. Now, whether I'm middle-aged is a bit debatable. I'm clinging to middle-aged, to be fair. Clinging probably by my fingertips, but I reckon I'm middle-aged. Yeah. Not, well, just about. But anyway, this, so I hope you enjoy this. If you've you know, children in your life, I hope you have. And this will be a great little book for them. And it's got some really amazing adventures in it. So here is, I'm going to read from a section about Gwen Moffitt, who certainly pushed the boundaries herself. So here's my little reading from Fantastic Female Adventurers. Gwen Moffitt, Living the High Life. From hundreds of metres below Gwen came the sound of cowbells. Somewhere down there, among the high pastures and forests, was the cabin where she was staying. But she didn't look down. Instead, clinging to the rock face, she studied the cliff above her, searching for handholds, trying to work out the best route. The rock was pale grey limestone with yellow streaks. Tiny purple flowers bloomed in the cracks. She could feel the midday sun beating down on her back. It was 1952, the year Queen Elizabeth II came to the throne of Great Britain. Gwen Moffitt, who would become Britain's first female mountain guide, was climbing in the Dolomites. As a girl, Gwen had always had a thirst for adventure, but never imagined she would find those adventures in the mountains. Growing up, she had wanted to become a journalist, to travel and to see the world. Gwen's dreams about exploring came mostly from books and films. As a child, she loved reading. On my first day at primary school, I grazed my knee in the playground, and it turned septic, she says. I was sick at home for months, and my sister taught me to read. By the time I returned to school, I was reading voraciously. In my secondary school, my favourite subjects were art, geography and English, except for grammar, when I usually read a book at the back of the class. And I always took a sketchbook with me on my bike rides through the countryside around our home. Gwen was inspired by the stories of her Aunt Elizabeth, who had been a teacher in India and who had climbed in the Himalayas. This was very unusual for a woman at that time. Gwen watched films and read everything she could about India, hoping to travel there herself one day. By her mid-teens, she was reading books about great women explorers, Ella Mallard, Freya Stark, and Gertrude Bell. When Gwen grew up in the 1930s, things were very different to how they are today. For grammar school girls with good exam results, it was a dull outlook, Gwen explains. Women were not encouraged to go for higher education. T teaching, nursing or secretarial work were the norm. But I always wondered why a woman couldn't be a scientist or a surgeon or run her own company. After she left school, she spent some time working in a newspaper office before deciding to join the Women's Land Army and later the Auxiliary Territorial Service. She was not allowed to fight, but has a job as a driver. She drove anything from cars and motorbikes to ambulances and 3-ton lorries. She also worked as an Army PT instructor, which she loved. 6 months after the war ended, Gwen's life changed forever when she discovered mountains. She was 21. A friend had taken her climbing in North Wales. Our first climb was covered with ice and it was bland, like climbing slippery stairs, remembers Gwen. But on the second day, the ice on the rocks was thawing, and my next climb was like going up a series of walls with cracks and chimneys, which are deep and wide gaps in the rock that you fit your body into, and with steep slabs of smooth grey rock. Yet there were holes for your feet and hands. Icy cold water was streaming down all of it, but I loved every minute. I was tested. My body had to work, inching up cracks, hauling itself up chimneys. And my brain was also needed. Concentration, balance and judgment. But really, all I felt at the time was fulfillment. I had found adventure. It was only coming down when it was over that I also knew I'd fallen in love. That mountain, Triffin, is still my favourite. That day, Gwen decided to leave the army and join her friends, a group of artists and climbers who lived in Cornwall at the time, doing forestry work. All Gwen had when she left the army was her sleeping bag and a tent. She had to earn money to support herself, and so over the next few months, she travelled around the country to find work. During this time, she often stayed with her friends in their rented cottages, but occasionally she slept in barns or beneath hedgerows or camped wild. She didn't have a car or a bike, so she hitchhiked and walked everywhere. An animal lover, she also adopted a stray dog, Thomas, who accompanied her on many of her journeys. During the first 2 years after she left the army, Gwen had many different jobs. Artist model, farm worker, looking after the props for a theatre, forester, secretary, gardener, hotel maid, steering a schooner, a type of sailing ship, and driving a grocery delivery van in the Scottish Highlands. But whenever she had any free time, she went climbing in the mountains, getting stronger, fitter, and improving her technique. To save money, she often wore old clothes that her sister had sent her. For a long time, she only had one dress, which was made from old blackout curtains. She climbed wearing old skirts, jumpers, rolled-up trousers, or perhaps a bikini in the summer. She loved to climb barefoot where possible, so she could feel the rock under her feet. This also helped to make her climbing boots last longer, as they were expensive to replace in those days. Climbing boots had nails in their soles to give more grip. Today, climbing boots are much more advanced and have special rubber on their soles to help grip the rock. Gwen and her friends swam in the lakes and rivers to get clean. We always warmed up afterwards by running up and down, slapping ourselves to get dry. We never used towels. She loved to go wild swimming wherever she could, at all times of the year. Once, after a winter dip in Loch Ness when snow lay all around, Gwen was trotting naked along a quiet road to dry off when she met her family in a car driving to church. She loved to go wild swimming whenever she could, and at all times of year. Once, after a winter dip in Loch Ness when snow lay all around, Gwen was trotting naked along a quiet road to dry off when she met her family in a car driving to church, and she had to quickly dive behind a tree to hide. But the bare branches hid very little. Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I'll be back hopefully fairly soon. I'm trying to get out podcasts, roughly a podcast a day, of readings or just chat about various aspects of the outdoors. I'm looking out of my window now and there are very large buds bursting on the trees. There's a few leaves coming out now. Spring's really here. Let's hope we'll get out to enjoy it, you know. Spring's always a time of hope and we maybe need a bit of hope right now. So you know, there it is in nature coming out all around us. And the, across the river from where I live, there are house martins sweeping down. They've come all the way from Africa. God bless them. If they can make it all the way from Africa, I'm sure we can make it through this stuff. So take care. Hope to see you again. I've been John Burns. Bye-bye.